8th chapter. You may want to bring it down here, a little echo a little bit. Amen. John 8, beginning at verse 1, reading from the NIV. But Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. At dawn, he appeared again in the temple courts, where all the people gathered around him, and he sat down to teach them. The teachers of the law and the Pharisees brought in a woman caught in adultery. They made her stand before the group and said to Jesus, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. In the law, Moses commanded us to stone such a woman. Now, what do you say?" They were using this question as a trap in order to have a basis for accusing him. But Jesus bent down and started to write on the ground with his finger. When they kept on questioning him, he straightened up and said to them, "Let any one of you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her." Again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. At this, those who heard began to go away, one at a time, the older ones first, until only Jesus was left, with the woman still standing there. Jesus straightened up and asked her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" "No one, sir," she said. "Then neither do I condemn you." Jesus declared, "Go now and leave your life of sin." Or as the King James would say it, "Go and sin no more." God's forgiveness. God's forgiveness. Many of us will never be what God wants us to be, because we have a problem of forgiving ourselves. We struggle daily of trying to find a reason to forgive ourselves. As a matter of fact, we stay in trouble more often than not because we won't forgive ourselves. We say that we are not worthy. We say things like, "How could God still love me?" We say things that keep us under the subjection of our own flesh. We can't move forward because we're so worried about the wrong that we've done. We ask ourselves every time we stumble down the same path, "Lord, why can't I seem to get it right? Lord, why do I struggle in the same areas? Why do I struggle with the same things?" And as long as we keep asking these questions, we will continue to struggle. There is a point in your life when you must understand, or we must realize, that there's nothing that we can do. Nothing. Except forgive ourselves. Because God himself has already done it. But because we can't appreciate his forgiveness, we still hold ourselves captive. Here you have a woman who is caught in adultery. And very interestingly, they bring her to stone her because the law said so. Now, the law indicates what? Truth. The law tells us where we are wrong. The law tells us what we're doing that's not right. The law also convicts us. But thank goodness Jesus was on the scene. Because Jesus provides what the law could not provide.
Yes, sir.
And that's grace. See, Jesus knows the law and he understands the law, But the problem is that when regular, ordinary people try to apply the law to someone else, when they themselves can't follow the law. See, we always see the wrong in other people. And the wrong that is in us, we hide that.
All right.
Because we don't want folk to know that. But it's because we struggle with something so much that we can identify the faults in others, especially when they're struggling with the same thing that I struggle with. But the problem is you don't know I'm struggling, but I can see you, and therefore I want to condemn you so that I myself can feel a little bit better. We have a problem with forgiving ourselves, so we have a problem with forgiving others. And therefore now we're in a cycle of no forgiveness nowhere in the place. But God is saying, where are your accusers? See, the one thing that we see is that as Jesus, who knows it, begins to write. Now, I don't know what he was writing in the ground because I wasn't there, but I do have a mind that God gave me.
All right. Come on, Pastor.
And I can only imagine as Jesus had scanned those who were accusing the woman, I'm more than sure there were some fornicators in the group. I'm almost certain there were some adulterers in the group. I'm almost certain there were some liars and some cheaters. I'm almost certain there were some abusers of their own flesh. I know that it was not the righteous making accusations, but it was the evil chasing after the evil. And God simply began to write. Because if you notice, he don't talk immediately. Because sometimes words don't have the same effect. But he began to write, and folks are looking, and I'm sure they're curious. They're peeping over their accusations. They look like there's some familiar things that he's writing down. I don't know how he knows this, but he has my attention, because here is I haven't even forgiven myself, and I know I did it, but I allowed the group to agitate me enough to follow them to have this woman stoned, not for her sins, but for my sins. The ones that I was trying to cover up and hide as if I was righteous all by myself. And so Jesus is now calling out by writing sins and things down that obviously moves the people. And the Bible says that they wanted to know what he had to say. Isn't that what it said? He said that they made her stand before the group and said to Jesus, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. In the law, Moses commanded us." So in other words, they know enough to understand the law, but they apparently don't know enough to follow it themselves. Did that sound like somebody we know? We understand his grace and his mercy. We understand the rights and the wrongs, but yet at the same time, while we understand them, we have a hard time practicing them. But we can point out those who aren't practicing as if we are. And so Jesus begins to write down on the tablets of your heart, as you make an accusations against others, that should prick you and compel you to take a look at yourself. When they kept on questioning him, he straightened up and said to them, "Let any one of you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her." Then he began to write some more. The Bible then indicates that they slowly began to fade away. The oldest first. Those who are supposed to be more knowing those who have been on the journey for quite a long time, it seemed like to me that they was righteous, and what they knew, if anybody would leave last, was the orderly person, because they already knew they was, he ain't touched none of mine yet while he writing. But apparently the Bible indicates that the old one began to leave out first. Then everybody else began to follow suit, and Jesus knows what he's doing. Because here is a woman that is in stress. She committed adultery. Well, last time I checked, it take two.
It do. Amen. It do.
You can't have adultery without someone else committing it with you.
Even adulterer.
Yeah. But only she was brought before. Jesus said, "Where are your accusers?" She said, "They're all gone." He said, "Well, I don't accuse you either. In other words, I've forgiven you for what you've done. Now go and sin no more." In other words, while you were so worried about all of your mess and you couldn't forgive yourself, the Savior of the world was able to forgive you, and he didn't sit there and hold it against you.
Come on.
All right, all right. See, we want to hold that stuff against folks. We want to hold it against ourselves. We're going to make it, but Rev, you don't know my past. Rev, let me help you. I ain't got to know your past. Because Jesus knows everything about you, inside and outside, up and down and all the way around. And if Jesus himself can say, "I forgive you."
Yes, sir.
So you have to allow him to say, "Where are your accusers?" See, you're so busy, or we're so busy concerned about what we've done and how we've wronged God and how we've wronged others, that everybody seems to have an eye focused on us. What Jesus does is takes away all those outside eyes, because the outside eyes really don't matter. It don't matter what you think about what I've done. It only matters what God thinks about what I've done. And when God declares what I've done and he has forgiven me for all things, and there's nothing that you can say about what I've done that's going to keep me down in the dumps, when I know he has lifted me up. I'm thankful for God's forgiveness. Because unlike us, he don't hold on to stuff. Now understand this, and even in the process of forgiveness, there are consequences when you do wrong.
Yes, sir.
And so while you have been forgiven, it does not mean that you don't have the consequences. But what I want to show you with God is that God is long-suffering.
All right.
See, and that's where we get in trouble.
I'm glad you said that.
Because he is long-suffering, because he is patient, because he is kind, you think you're getting away with something. And you think that nobody knows what you're doing. See, the reason why a group came is because they didn't think nobody knew what they was doing. Until Jesus began to stoop and start writing. And as he wrote, he revealed to them. In other words, you think nobody knows what you're doing. But God always knows. And so you got to learn how to go to God and ask for forgiveness of your sin, because until you can ask for forgiveness from him, it's going to be hard to forgive yourself. But once he forgives you, you're forgiven. The only one that can keep bringing it up is you. He says, "Where are your accusers?" In other words, can nobody stand before God but you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, folks might want to call you out, might want to bring you forth. Say, I know what they did. I remember your past. I thought you ain't getting away from none of this stuff. Oh, yeah, you can go into church, call Jesus all you want, but I know you from way back when. And I'm here to tell you, as soon as you think you're getting somewhere, I'm going to open up my mouth and I'm going to tell somebody about what you did that you thought was done in darkness. But Jesus says, where are your accusers? Because he who is without sin, let him cast the first stone. The Bible tells me there wasn't a stone out there to be thrown. Because God is saying that I forgive you. So whatever your past, whatever you've done, whatever you can't seem to let go of or forgive yourself, or people sitting there and saying, remember when you was this, as long as you hold on to those things, you're not going to be successful in God. God don't want us worried about stuff that we can't control or stuff that we did in the past.
Yes, sir.
Remember, the Bible says, and he talked about it in Sunday school this morning, but he knew you before you was in your mama's womb.
All right, all right.
Because he created you and formed you, so he understands everything about us. Adam and Eve, they sinned, right? And even though they had to pay the consequences for their sin, he still forgave them. How do I know he forgave them? Because after he put them out in the garden, which was the punishment for their sin, he never left them. Not only did he not leave them, but he also clothed them and he still followed them and said, look, I'm still your God. Yeah, you messed up and you can't stay here no more because of what you've done. But just because you can't stay here don't mean I can't stay with you. You got to understand God's forgiveness. He don't forgive you to say that, okay, now I'm going to forgive. I done forgive, but I ain't going to forget about this thing. I ain't going to forget that you messed up in the garden. See, what happens is when God forgave, he put a plan in process that will show you completely how much he forgave you.
All right.
Yeah, there's a process that had to be done, but you don't feel like you've been forgiven unless you can see it from the forgiver. Amen. People say, I forgave you, but yet they treat you differently. I'm going to forgive you, but forget. I got all these things going on. And yet, if you continue to remind me about what I've done, then you really haven't forgiven me. And therefore, I'm still subject to your hate and your... because you keep holding it over my head. Well, that's like saying God has forgiven you, but now Adam and Eve, since you done messed up, I'm going to let you just go ahead and do whatever you want to do. I'm not going to give you no clothes. I'm not going to do things. I'm not going to give you no more. I'm not going to make sure everything's all right. Even Cain had killed his brother. Cried out to the Lord. Lord said, don't worry. Ain't nobody going to fool with you. If anybody fool with you, I'm going to take care of them. Now remember, Cain committed murder. In other words, God knows how to forgive. And he still wants to pull you in closer to him. But even though he's forgiven you, you haven't forgiven yourself. And because of that, you can't reach your potential in God. He's forgiven you. Jonah.
All right.
Jonah 4. But to Jonah, this seemed very wrong, and he became angry. He prayed to the Lord. Isn't this what I said, Lord, when I was still at home? This is what I tried to forestall by fleeing to Tarshish. I knew that you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger, abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity. Now, Lord, take away my life, but it's better for me to die than to live. Jonah didn't even want to save Nineveh because he knew that God would save them, because he knew that God loved. And because of that, he couldn't forgive them, but yet God forgave them. But when he tried to run from forgiveness, God had to get him. Had to show him that, look, I've forgiven you. Why can't you forgive them? Just because you got an issue with somebody who has wronged you does not stop you from being better than them and forgiving them and moving forward in a relationship so that it is more conducive to a great atmosphere. Do you follow what I'm saying? God ain't concerned about the silly stuff. Just us. We are. God is concerned about forgiving and moving forward. As long as God has forgiven you, you are forgiven indeed. That same forgiveness that he gives you, we have to give to others. Because if we give it to others, we can live a more fulfilled life. Because the more you stay angry, the more you stay mad at somebody, the worse your life is. Because that stuff will eat away at you. Every time you get around them, you want to walk like this because you don't, I don't want to talk with, I ain't got time. There's an event going on and you ask, well, I'll come, but is they going to be there? Because if they going to be there, I ain't going to be there. So you go through all this drama, but yet you have been perfectly forgiven, but you can't forgive nobody else. But the problem is that God says that he is without sin. Let him cast the first stone. So let me ask you this. Is any one of us have it right? Even on our worst day. And that's the rest. So there is not a day that you can get out and say, I got this thing figured out. No, I'm the pastor and I ain't got it figured out. Because sometimes I want to cut some folks.
All right. Yeah.
But even in the midst of my wanting to cut, God says, who are you to cut?
Amen.
You just love. Let me do all the cutting. So I myself got to put my own self in subjection and say, well, Lord, I realize that, but I'm not that great either. But I have to forgive myself in order to move forward, in order to preach, in order to do what I have to do. I got to forgive others, even though others have wronged me and will continue to wrong me. But the problem is that God has forgiven me for all the times I've wronged him. So who am I to hold a grudge? Yeah, the human mind says, be mad, be angry. But the spirit says, get rid of all of that. Because it's going to take away from your life. I didn't say it was easy to forget and let it all go. But the problem is, it's a process. And the closer you get to God, the easier the process. There are consequences that come with the sins. So it may be, well, I forgive you and I'm going to treat you the same way. But I just probably won't deal that much with you no more. You say, well, I ain't forgot. Well, no, I've forgiven you and I've moved on, but I realize that hanging with you is dangerous. Mm. Amen? So I understand that we had something, I would love to have it back, but you don't feel quite the same way I feel, so I forgive you for what you've done and let's move on, because sometimes you got to do what? Agree to disagree. But it ain't no sense in being caught up in the hate and the drama of not forgiving someone when God's forgiven us and we ain't been no one better than that person. That's what Jonah did. And Jonah, he didn't really find out until the end when he was by that tree that covered him with shade. And God provided for him. Remember, God provided for him even though he was running, didn't want to help. He finally helped him out. God provided for him, gave him a tree, gave him fruit, gave him shelter. The next day, God called that same tree to die and wither away. And then Jonah said, well, I better off being dead. And Jonah, God said, well, Jonah, how come you care more about a tree and some fruit than you did about people? He said, that's what I'm trying to tell you. I cared about Nineveh enough to give them a chance to fix themselves so that I wouldn't have. Remember, God had stepped in and destroyed nations before because they would not Nineveh turned to God. So if the person that you hold unforgiveness to never gets forgiveness from you, how can they turn to God? Because we represent who? God. But yet we have an unforgiving spirit. So therefore, we can't even reach the lost because we're too busy unforgiving them, because we ourselves are guilty of the same stuff. We haven't forgiven ourselves, so we're blaming others for why we ain't forgiven ourselves and making them pay, when God said to us, you are perfectly forgiven in me. Where are your accusers? Why are you sitting here tripping? I'm not tripping. So now go and sin no more. If you follow those instructions, you won't have many issues. Do you get what I'm saying? If we stop focusing on all the negative things that God, remember, God died on the cross for us before we was even born. In other words, you ain't doing nothing that he didn't know you was going to do. Okay, he's seen our mess way in advance and paid for the price on the cross way in advance. Ultimate forgiveness. He died for folks who would still spit in his face after we've already been received as him as our Lord and Savior. We've accepted Christ, and every day we seem to spit in his face, but he didn't stay. He didn't get off the cross. He realized that what he had to do was be a true forgiver, which kind of goes beyond just regular forgiving. And no matter what you do to me, if you spit on my face, if you lie, cheat, steal, commit adultery, fornication, homosexuality, I don't care what it is you do. Remember that he already paid the price. All you got to do is line up with him. If you line up with him, your sins are perfectly forgiven. But until you learn to forgive yourself, it's going to be hard to forgive others. And if you can't forgive others, it's going to be hard to live a fulfilling life. That's all the text is showing. The law shows us where we're wrong. But the grace says, I forgive you anyhow. Now do better. Now do right. Now live a more fulfilled life by not holding on to all your past baggage. See, we're great baggage carriers. We everywhere we go, we lugging stuff. Past relationships, past hurts, failed marriages, failed this and failed that, and faulty jobs and faulty kids and this and that, and alcohol and drugs and sexual immorality. We carry it. We carry it like nobody's business. Some of us wear it on our sleeve. Other ones keep it so well hidden that we don't even see it ourselves. But it keeps us from loving. It keeps us from forgiving. It keeps us from feeling like we've been forgiven. You hear it all the time. God don't want me. Yes, God wants you. Because he wants you to let go of all of that stuff. Because there is no man or woman that can accuse you before God. Only you can stand before God and give an account for what you've done. So there won't be no accusers. There's a bunch right here while you're on earth, because what? They living in the same stuff you living in. But the bottom line is that when you see Jesus, there are no accusers. And the only way you're going to get past God is to have the blood of Jesus on you. Because let me help you out. We are guilty of all that we've done, but we have been acquitted of all of our charges because Christ stayed up on the cross. And when he got up that Sunday morning, he sealed the deal forever. So you can wallow and unforgiving yourself and never amounting to what God wants you to amount to, or you can hold on to the fact that God has forgiven you. And he's not worried about what you've done in the past. Only thing God wants to know is how you're going to move forward. I've forgiven you in that area. Now keep moving forward. You say, but I keep stumbling in the same area. And God keeps saying, I forgive you in that area. Now there may be consequences, and we got to learn how to live with consequences. We're big enough to do the sins. We're big enough to make the faults. We're big enough to go against God, even though we know we're going against God. So we should be big enough to handle the punishment. But at the same time he punishes us, he loves us. That's why he punishes us. Because he wants us to get it right. Because as long as we can get it right, we can help others who struggle in the same area. That's why we are a unit. That's why we are a group. That's why we are a church. We are a church of faulty people. All struggling to get to the right spot. And if we bounce off of one another, instead of accusing one another, we're going to make it. If God has forgiven us, then why can't we forgive ourselves? The moment that we can forgive ourselves, we can forgive others, and we can appreciate God's forgiveness of us. Yes, that in turn leads to a more fulfilled and loving life, because you don't have the baggage no more that the world wants you to carry to say you ain't about nothing, you ain't never going to be about nothing. You have been freed from that luggage. You are actually able to go on the flight with no fees for your baggage. Enjoy God's forgiveness, because truthfully, that's the only thing we got. And if we can hold on to that, God will bless you and he will keep you, and you'll be able to hold on. Amen. Amen. The door to the church are open this morning.